Welcome to episode 16 of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger!
Oh, yay!
You all sound so fucking enthusiastic.
I'm half a corpse.
Okay.
Half away.
Achoo!
That was last week.
I know. I still like doing that, though.
That's true!
That's true.
Achoo!
Achoo.
Okay.
Thank you.
We're live! Watching all the anime! Red Caster! Joe Raven!
Equipment Wielder! Blue Caster, Ishida Zazeel!
Respecting the source material! Green Caster, Zenshi! Actually White! Black Caster, Ransack!
Loyal and Loud! Pink Caster, Lightred!
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet!
Radio Sentai! Cast Ranger! On air!
So we've got all five members here today.
Oh.
And we're talking about Gaim episode 35.
Oh, what a great episode.
Tokyuger episode 18.
Yep.
And we're going to be doing a little open discussion about the Kamen Rider Battle Ride War 2 game that recently came out.
We did that. That was fun.
We've already recorded a couple videos for both Ixie and Overzeal, so look forward to those in the coming weeks.
Oh.
So let's go ahead and start our discussion on Gaim.
All right.
Kamen Rider Gaim!
Starting us off is Mr. Pink Caster.
So, great episode. But the first thing I want to mention. This had Star Wars Episode 3 written all over it.
Yes. I haven't even seen that and I understand the joke.
Yes. Kota and Michi are Anakin and Obi-Wan. Kota being Obi-Wan, and Michi being Anakin.
You are the chosen one!
Does one of them have the high ground?
Yes.
And Mai being Padmame or Panda Bear or whatever the hell her name is.
So, yeah, Mai being Padme. So, this is, like, later in the episode, but what happens is, like, Michi comes up to Mai, and he's just like, yeah, so I found, like, I'm working with the Overlords. And she's like, what? And it's like, yeah, they're, you know, we're going to make sure it's a world where humans and Overlord and Invis can live together. And she's like, really?
And the funny part is how on board with that she seems at first.
Yeah, she's like, oh, cool, but how are you going to do that? And he's like, oh, well, we have to sacrifice many humans who aren't worthy to live on our planet. And she's
I don't think he ever flat out said that.
Something like that. Like, she said only the ones worthy can survive.
His response was, I do what they want, and they will make sure that the people I choose survive.
But anyways, almost down to the very letter, like, pretty much, this entire conversation is exactly like how it was with Anakin and Padme in episode 3.
And the funniest part of that conversation is the shot right at the end of Michi standing and the light shining behind him, and my comment was, have you accepted the Boroshio as your lord and savior?
Yeah.
Yeah, someone made that comment. That was
Michi
funny.
Is the priest of the Overlord religion.
But no, it's exactly, like, whenever in episode 3 when Anakin, like, when Padme brings up Obi-Wan's name, Anakin's like, I don't want to hear any more about Obi-Wan. Shut the fuck up. And so now, Mai's like, oh, but Kota wouldn't do that, Kota's good. Shut the fuck up. I don't want to hear any more about Kota.
Now you just need to dub over the scene.
Yeah, no, I'm just going to put the scene, like, I'm not going to get Dave to do that because that's going to be too hard, but just watch that scene. And then from Gaim, and then watch the scene from episode 3, you'll totally fucking understand. It's fan-fucking-tastic. It's so great.
I'm stronger than the Emperor. I can overthrow him.
I'm more powerful than Roshiro. I could overthrow him. You and I can rule the city together. It's amazing. Like, you have to watch the scene after. It's fucking hilarious. This episode was really good. Michi, God, just the suit. He looks so good in a suit.
Oh, yeah, he's become...
He's become Takatora!
Yeah.
He's even got the whole hand in the pocket. He's using his fucking rider system. He's in his fucking office. He's using his office.
He's, like, completely supplanted Takatora, and now it's for a completely different reason.
Yeah, and I'm just like, bitch, you're not Takatora, and you never fucking will be, so get the fuck off. Get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck off?
Yeah, get the fuck off.
Okay. Yes.
Anyways, so, eventually Yoko and Kaito and Kota, they're like, alright, well, let's go attack Yggdrasil, like, let's try to save the people that are captured in there, blah, 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 blah. And so, they're trying to figure out how to get in, and then Kota's like, wait, Michi, he's been scouting at the tower, maybe he can go in and, like,
and
help
the,
us.
And the funny part is, that is probably exactly why there are invis at every entrance.
Yeah, and so then Kaido's just like, I can't fucking take it anymore. Kaido, Michi's betrayed you. He's betrayed all of us. He's been playing you for a fucking fool.
Well, the thing about that is, Kaito still dances around, and he's like, whenever you need him, he's never here.
And then Yoko just says it.
You stupid fuck, he's deceiving you.
And Ko's like, no! Kimichi's a bit weird, you know, I don't know much about him and stuff. He keeps to himself. It's okay. And just Yoko and Kaido just give the greatest look. They just look over at both of each other and just... I wish you could see it.
Yeah, Michi may keep secrets, and he says some weird stuff, and I found a ruined suit in his closet, and I saw him reading an art book about melons, but that's not
suspicious.
But
just like, and they just give this look at each other where they're just like, oh my fucking god.
This guy!
Yeah, this guy, seriously. And I'm just like, Kaido, I love you. You're one of my favorite characters in the show.
No, I hate him still, and this is why I hate him.
You're a dumbass.
He's a dumbass, but he's the only one without an agenda.
But it's pretty much my takes on it, but it's just... you know what? I'll get into it when someone else talks about, like, near the end of the episode. But it's just... This episode was great. A lot of Michi... It's very Michi-focused, but that was good. Like, I still fucking hate Michi, but you know what?
Yeah, Paul will talk more about the stuff that Michi gets up to, but I just want to say that this episode has re-cemented Mitsuzane as my favorite character.
Yeah, he's...
I know that's going to be an unpopular opinion, but that's mine. Hell, Lane Sticks are liking Forza. I can have this.
Yeah, that's fine. that's it for me.
Both
it was great.
You're both awful, terrible people
Star
with
Wars
botched
together.
Opinions.
Star Wars Episode 3. Go watch it. It's a bad movie, but it's cool, too.
It's terrible. Go watch it.
Yeah, it's terrible. Go watch it.
It was awful. You shouldn't watch it, but you should totally
Come
watch it. One of the things, well, first and foremost, I thought it was really interesting when, Roshio, he made all the missiles disappear. That's weird. I mean, he has some weird power to do that. No, they didn't disappear. He shipped them off to North America.
Canada's always the first to get fucked over.
Funny enough, when we watched that episode... While they were saying that, I was taking notes for the podcast, so I had to watch the episode a second time, and then I saw the news post, they're watching news, and they announced it. Yeah, the missile, there are some strange missiles that have destroyed the North American continent. What?! Roshio blew up North America!
Off screen!
I just, thanks Obama!
No, see, this is what always happens. In any of these movies that involve, like, the world getting fucked up or something, like Day After Tomorrow being a prime example. It's always Canada to be the first to get fucked over.
Geographically, we got frozen first.
Polar ice caps melt, global warming, obviously we're fucked
Kevin,
first.
It's more like,
but...
thanks, Obama.
Yeah, no kidding.
Thanks, Roshio Obama.
Yeah, whenever
Roshio Obama! Nailed it.
He's just stuttering as he's waving around that giant.
Does that mean we have to go back to having a white president?
Get the fuck out of here.
That's raisins.
You're raisins.
I think we should have an Asian female president next for America. Well,
Yoko
Minato. Not we don't care.
You just want the president to do weekly addresses where she winks at you, does the V, and tells you to do your best at everything you do. That's all you want.
I'm then gonna come back there.
Oh god. I'm like,
what? Is your president now Chun Li?
President of China.
Yes, sir.
Alright.
Oh god, we're in so much trouble.
What's going on, you guys?
President Roshio Obama.
This may be our last broadcast.
Curse you, Roshio Obama.
Honore Roshio Obama.
Christ.
Oh, now we need to post that meme.
Yes,
I'm
we can post
Democrat.
Her just instead of Obama Roshio.
Just Photoshop Roshio's face on like Obama. Just cause.
I'm gonna have to carve his face out from under that squid head.
Yes. And then give it to Dave so he can edit it in.
Oh, I can do it.
But yeah, that's the one thing. The other thing I wanted to talk about, because I thought it was really cool, and I know you talk a lot about this just as far as how systems work.
Yeah.
It was actually really interesting that I didn't even notice it happen until it happened, that when you're using the sonic arrows, I mean, the shot that's fired is dependent on your fruit.
Yeah.
What fruit you're using. I was like, well, yeah, Kiwami's using it. The shot's prismatic.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more dynamic, which I would assume is an implication that it's probably more powerful.
It's safe to assume that.
Because I was going to say, it's not even like it's, you know, aesthetically different. It's visually bigger than the normal shots. But I just thought it was really cool. It's like, well, yeah, Kiwami, it's all the fruits. So having the prismatic shot as its, you know, bolts, I was like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
That's just a neat... I mean, it's better than them just copping out and go, make it yellow too.
Or just make it white.
Yeah, something boring. And I was like, no, I like that they did that. That's
what
nifty.
What I would have accepted as something else would have been an array of shots. Like, every shot he takes is a different color.
Oh yeah, they could have done that.
Fair enough.
But I was going to say, the array of shots is already something Sonic Heroes can do. Because you've seen Sigurd, like, shoot up and it rains arrows.
Yeah, but that's dependent on the lock CG. That's dependent on the lock CG use. With this one, it could just be like whatever shot you want. Just
so Kiwami just grants it many shot.
Yeah,
multi shot.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I aesthetically like this choice, and I agree with Kevin. I'm just saying that if it had been just an array, an array of shots that was either predetermined or just whatever the fuck you wanted it to be at the time, I would have accepted that too.
But yeah, and then following that wonderful display, we see Kaito holding this Overlord in place while Koda preps up the DJ gun, and I'm just sitting there like, special beam cannon! The difference being Goku got out of the way this time.
Yeah.
Which is probably for the better, because, I mean, this is one situation we couldn't have used the Dragon Balls.
Yep.
Also, this isn't the goodly dumbass we're talking about. This is the progressive smart one.
Like, this is the one where Piccolo held it and Goku fired.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's really all that really caught my interest this episode, believe it or not.
Okay, Paul?
Michi, you think you so big in your frickin' slim cut, like, inlaid pinstripe suit, thinking you so big walking around like Takatora. I said this before and I'll say it again. Bitch, you don't know how to be Machiavellian.
And that feathered out hair.
What dumbass? Like, you...
Who does his hair?
I'm not gonna say you've been doing fine up until now. But at the very least, you've had Kota fooled. The one person you've had to have fooled this entire time, which ain't too hard considering the fact that Kota's kind of a dumbass who's kind of wrapped around your little finger. But here's the thing. When you have the person you want to kill wrapped around your little finger and being in the position of the one person he thinks is not going to betray him, why do you tell him about the evil intent? Why do you come out of the bitch closet?
Because Michi just doesn't care anymore. He's just like, fuck it. I'm gonna kill you anyway.
This has literally become an I'm sick of shit moment.
If this was anything other than just him being a boisterous little peacock who thinks he's a supervillain, he'd have stabbed Kota in the back by now.
Well, he already shot him in the back once.
But no, this is all just one big inferiority complex, because he's walking around cosplaying his brother half the time, like, stealing his freaking brother's swagger, and just walking around like he freaking owns Yggdrasil now, just because he's got a bunch of powerful backers telling him that he can be someone important someday. Fucking Michi can lick my nutsack. Honest, and also, these overlords just giving him, like, this shit, I look forward to the day when someone turns around on him. It's probably going to be Reguay. Just like, Michi,
with the amount of time she says, oh, don't worry, I'll protect our deal.
Michi, you're sexy and all that with your green and purple rider armor. I can respect that, but could you just turn around a second? Yeah, just, I need a good shot of your back. Just, and you're dead. And I won't miss you. Michi, you're a dumbass. And he seems to think that hope is something he can physically destroy.
Yeah, so he wants to kill Wizard. That's his goal. Wizard is hope in physical form, according to him, at least.
You know who else is? Magna fucking Angemon.
Yep. I mean, I'm not going to get too much.
Well, only that. One of those exists within the same continuity.
Not Wizard. So Michi's got a book a flight to Magna Tokyo. Angemon. And just find Haruto, and you'll be like, oh, hey, who the fuck are you? You Hope?
I am a wizard.
No, I am a wizard.
He's like, yeah, but you're the Wizard of Hope, right? Yeah, okay, well, I'm supposed to
kill last
you.
Hope.
Yeah, the final hope. And he's like, okay, so you're the most important of hopes.
Okay, then. And you're dead.
That Toei, Ryugen, or Zangetsu Shin, whatever the fucking one he wants.
Why is this little wizard bitch in charge of humanity now? Jesus. He's like, honestly, yeah.
Well, according to Roshu, apparently Takatora is the leader of man.
Well, he called him a leader of men.
It's basically just a respect sort of thing. As a person who has commanded respect before, it's your job to watch all the shit that you've been protecting and trying to build up all this time basically be for naught. Like, he's basically saying, you've been working hard on, like, for your people, you've been working hard for your people in general, we'll now watch everything fall down in front of you. Mm. It's really cathartic.
Roshuo's motivations are really hard to grasp sometimes.
He just wants to ride his love.
No, I know. All he really wants is to get his love back, and Redoue is preparing a machine to do so. So why does Roshuo give enough of a fuck to even step out of his house?
If this works, he'll probably, like, here's the thing. The whole Helheim taking over the world thing, we know that that's just a natural thing that's going to happen anyway. That's not Roshuo, like, just walking up to it being like, hey, guess what? This place needs a new paint job. Yeah, here's some vines. Here's some, like, freaking demon apples. Here's some shit. It's all great. No, this is something that happens, and it just naturally happens. Roshuo isn't responsible for the actual attack of Helheim on humanity.
No, I know.
He just accelerated.
He is simply not deterring it and is, in fact, accelerating it today in this episode, which was strange because from the way that he said it, it sounded like it was coming out of some sort of compassion.
Yeah. It was a moment of, I'm going to put them out of their misery.
You know, it's that stupid trope.
No matter how much he seems like the villain of this show, and no matter how much you want to call him the villain of this show, or at least its antagonist, you really can't.
No.
Because he's not
malicious.
This isn't his evil plan. This is something that's happening, and he basically said, hey, that thing what only grows every few million years, what can resurrect my dead wife, is going to grow.
He's not the villain of the
show.
He's the god of the show.
Yeah, he's the one with the agenda above all other things because he's more powerful.
Yeah, the thing is, it really makes you wonder if it weren't for Redoue, what his game would be, because we've already established as of last episode that he has one of the two golden fruits, but he doesn't know how to use it to awaken his queen. So, what, you think getting the second fruit will make the two fruits click together and the instructions will appear before you?
Yeah, apples to apples.
No, he's basically just saying one apple wasn't enough.
It's not that it wasn't enough. He just doesn't know how to use it. They've explicitly stated that. They literally said, how do you feed the golden apple to a corpse?
Stuff it in their fucking mouth.
That's what I think. That's what I was thinking, but I'm like, I don't know if they tried that.
Open wide, sweetie.
Should I like cut into slices and feed it three ones at a time? I don't know.
No, feed it intravenously.
There you go. Just hook it to my veins.
Delicious golden.
Yeah, just mix
apple
it into
juice.
A nice golden forbidden apple juice.
Golden apple cocktail.
Share it with your friends. They can sell it at Bondo's bar.
Make fruit punch.
There you go.
Yes.
He's gonna take the fruit, punch it into her face.
Maybe with milk. Who knows?
Ooh, fruit punch.
Ole. Forbidden fruit ole!
Fruit punch ole!
Yeah, Roshuo is not malicious. Roshuo is benign at best. Well, not benign, but he's ambivalent.
Not malicious.
Not malicious.
I actually kind of hope that it's Roshuo and Takatora kind of have like an epic fight.
Yeah. Two people who respect each other on opposite sides of the field, not really wanting to kill.
They will have an honorable fight if they that happens. Yeah. It'll be a very honorable fight.
I'm looking forward to it.
I feel like
Rosho
will whip his ass like a little fucking baby.
Well, you never know.
Someone gets these pretty fucking.
How about
awesome.
How about this idea? Maybe the second golden fruit appears and Zangetsu gets it, then fights Roshiro.
I don't know.
Like I said, I still want Kaido to get the fruit.
I don't know. Roshiro kind of blew up the better part of North America.
With a wave of his magic staff.
They send one
continent to hell, we will send their entire world.
Sagitora just like tries to fight him, he just like waves his magic staff, teleports him into space.
Can we just talk briefly about the impact of what happened there? A Japanese television show depicted the complete destruction of North American culture off screen.
Yes, Kamen Rider Gaim has now officially the highest death count in a Rider show.
I wouldn't say depicted, I would say alluded to.
Alluded to, but in the end, it's still something what happened.
Yes, that's true.
You can't sugarcoat that. North America
ain't
there anymore.
Yes, the entire fucking, like, cracks are opening everywhere. People are fucking dying.
We're ghosts.
We are dead. We are currently broadcasting Cast Ranger from the fucking afterlife. You're welcome.
From Transformers Heaven, where Cybertronian good guys go.
Well, see, these guys are dead. I'm not, because Ichi, David, Kevin, we're fine because we have Sengoku drivers and shit. Well, Ken and I have Genesis drivers, so we're more than fine.
You know why you're alive, Lane? Because you're a fucking cockroach.
That's not nice.
While I understand the joke you just did, I don't think Sengoku drivers would protect us from tactical missiles!
They're not immortality.
Yeah, they are.
No, they're not!
Yeah.
Now the episode name is the day the Sengoku driver saved me from a missile attack.
If Rider Logic has shown me anything, it's that if someone's trying to attack you while you're in the middle of a henshin, doesn't fucking work.
Lane, I don't think any form of logic has ever imparted itself.
That bullshit henshin.
Just, to go back for a second on your whole Takatora versus Roshiro fight, I was thinking about that, I was like, well, I understand there would be this greater sense of honor. You're talking about the guy who split a mountain for the sole purpose of making cherry jam.
Yeah. Jenny and I just got...
Well, that's just because Sid's an idiot. Takatora has no interest in the fruit. He just wants to try to save humanity without killing off seven billion people.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is that doesn't excuse Roshiro's ability.
He holds two hands out and Takatora's inside a rock.
I was going to say, it's certainly the sort of thing he wouldn't do to Takatora out of respect, but he could do whatever he wanted to Takatora.
Yeah.
He could, let's just assume that he took one of those missiles and stored it inside a parallel dimension. And then anyone who fights him, here's a missile in your face.
Oh, well, he did say, he's like, you're free to go now. As a leader of men, you should be there when you'll be a witness to the destruction of your kind. And he's like, thanks.
By the way, I like the fact that he didn't immediately reunite with them because he saw Minato there.
Yeah, he's like, Ryoma got to Coda too. No.
Not
at all.
Really?
Ryoma fucked off.
Well, I could understand his confusion.
100 star
prison. Yeah, I'm like, he doesn't have context.
I was going to say, it's Kaido and Minato.
Yeah.
With Coda, it just kind of...
He doesn't have contact here.
Shit.
Ryoma is somewhere up in fucking orbit accessing the Digiworld.
Cybertronian Heaven, yeah. I said so. Yeah.
He's hanging out in the rabbit hutch with the Kamen Rider Club.
Sure.
That's what he's doing.
Now, someone shop that.
That is the exact opposite of weird.
Someone shop Ryoma hanging out in the rabbit
hutch.
And
yet it makes the most sense at the moment.
Seriously, Ryoma will come back down to Earth and he'll be wearing one of the Forze spacesuits.
No,
awesome.
No, he'll have Forze arms.
God damn it.
Just put a picture from the Flash app, Duke Forza Arms.
Great, now I'm imagining him just, like, Ryoma just, like, parachuting down from the sky.
Parachute,
My first thought when you said Ryoma was in the rabbit hutch, can you get Wi-Fi from the moon?
Yeah?
Yes.
Yes. Imagine all those satellites around!
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah!
Yeah, he's hijacking the Fox News satellite to gain 3G.
And he's talking to the holographic...
No, because he tricked Gentaro. He's just like, who the fuck are you? Oh, I'm...
I'm your new best friend.
Cool, you want to be friends? Yeah,
I'm
sure.
I'm a new member of your club.
Oh, awesome. Cool.
Like buddy handshake.
I'm a writer, too.
Yeah, I'm a writer. Oh.
I'm in Lida.
You know how dumb Gentaro is.
Yeah, he'd fall for it.
Like, no, Sengoku proceeds to usurp the Kamen Rider Club.
No. Now that's the thing I'm looking for. I hope that happens in the Heisei Show movie. Just Forze and Gaien just doing the buddy handshake.
Just like...
I want to see that be a
just
thing.
Just like, it's a random club meeting. Ryoma comes up, presses a button. Your club itinerary has now been broadcast to the whole world.
They're all just kind of like,
we were just playing a bake sale.
Yeah, it just...
Now everyone knows about your bake sale.
Right? It just...
We've been putting up flyers all week. Thank you.
We're going to make Kuga cookies.
Cookies.
Cookies. Fuck okay, yeah. One more thing. How freaking poignant is the fact that Kota didn't call him Michi.
Yeah, no, that was serious. Like, for the first time ever, Kota actually says his full real name, Michizane, yeah. Because he's so floored that this is happening.
It's like he's unfamiliar to him.
Damn, that was powerful.
That's bullshit, Henshin!
Yeah, I was saying earlier.
Let it go!
No,
fucking, seriously, if you look at that shot.
Shoots him with a sonic arrow, and then Kota's just like, oh shit! Does the orange lock scene. You just see the arrow fucking hit him and explode before he even gets the thing in the belt. Comes out already fully transformed.
No,
I'm like, okay,
no damage,
no.
Fully henshin, like, runs the fuck in there. I'm like, no.
Now, yes,
I'm
do
sorry.
Believe in the whole, oh, you're invincible when in the middle of a henshin, but no, not
no,
Ryuga that early.
Shot him in the back while he was transforming.
Well, I was going to say, we've already disproved
this is the frontal... No, I'm going to mean frontal attacks here.
No, but that was after the suit appeared. This was arrow hits belt while lock seed is in hand.
Explosion.
Before he'd even lowered the seed to the
belt.
By
the way, I'm Gaim now.
Oh.
Oh no, I exploded, JK Henshin.
It couldn't have taken them
right?
that much effort... To just quickly have him just, like, the orange come down as the arrow's
and
hitting him.
And block the arrow.
Because suspense.
Yeah. Oh, is Kota dead? Oh, no.
Shit. Yeah.
Completely unscathed.
Maybe next time.
Yeah. also fucking Takatora just going like, wait, he's wearing a suit. Wait, is that besides my belt? What the fuck?
You got three strikes!
He tarnished my belt!
Took my soup! You took my office! You took my belt!
You took my life!
Three strikes! You're out, pal!
The first two I was okay with, but
I have no brother!
That's why I'm waiting so... Because if the preview has shown me anything that I'm so excited for, it just shows Zangetsu, like, Takatora walking towards Michi while Michi's in, like, full form. Just... Fucking crawling back going, oh my god, don't hurt me, please. I'm so excited.
I'm so psyched for that fight.
I'm watching the fucking Raw just for that fight.
You and I are both doing that Saturday.
Fuck yeah, we are.
Catch it.
Yes. Okay, so, apparently, not only did Redue and Demushu learn to speak Japanese, but pretty much every one of these overlords of the week that are now happening just come in automatically having a full 10 ranks in language Japanese.
Wami arms, ole.
What the fuck does that have to do with anything?
Ole, matador.
Oh yeah, Kiwami used his fucking cape as a matador cape and played Toro with Jirincha.
Now see, I enjoy capes on people. Capes look badass, so when he took off, I was like, no, that's... Cape kind of makes cool.
And then he was like, ole!
Ole! I still want to do a music
video. Kiwami ole.
I still want to do a music video of ole to the ole Teotsunago from the Yos movie.
No.
And, yeah. So, Redue's plan is, like, coming to light now, and we've pretty much confirmed what we were all guessing last week, that Redue is going to use humans... as fuel for this Revive the Queen machine, and I'm just thinking, am I watching Gaim or Sailor Moon? This is totally a Queen Beryl plot. Stop humans life energy.
Yep. I'm sad, though. They showed a scene where, like, Kota's sister was with a bunch of people, and I was like, alright, just waiting for hearing that. Ah! yeah, people getting fucking turned into energy or whatever.
Silent Queen is people.
No, they're all unconscious and dying.
Yeah, slowly
they're
dying.
They're not going to scream.
Just watch fucking those two Gaim people. I forgot what the fucking
Rat
names.
And Reese, I think yes. their names.
Just come back into that room where they found all those people, and they're just skeletons or just degraded corpses. And they're just oh my god!
No, but the funny thing about that part when they're trying to rescue people is they try to rip the collar off, and you just hear this weird crunching noise. And I'm just thinking, Radaway's gonna walk in on them any minute, and surely enough she does. And I'm just thinking, Michi kind of already gave these two his blessing. Right away probably doesn't know that. Michi should probably think about giving the people he wants to save this little badge that says, "Don't eat me, right away."
Oh, they can wear a little gold star on their
chest. So how, Coda's been affected a lot by, deaths? Mm-hmm. So he found out he killed Yuya. He witnessed Hase dying.
Yep.
Honestly, I know this is going to sound really dick.
I just realized he doesn't even know Sid's dead yet.
No, this is going to be a really dick, sound like a really dick thing to say, but I kind of hope there's just a moment where, he gets to finally, rescues Coda, pretty much pulls an ace from, One Piece. You know what I'm
talking
about.
Gets into the room, goes
gets
save
there,
his sister, unhooks
she
the machine,
rescues
she
her,
dust.
She dies anyway somehow.
No.
Could that just happen, please, so Coda can stop?
He gets there. Finds
too
his sister,
late.
Unhooks her from the machine,
dead.
Goes to move her, she turns to dust.
Turns to dust or
Orphanox style.
Just life energy has been completely drained, turns to dust.
Oh god, I would love that scene.
I'm
just like, he will start purple cracking, because that bitch will fall into despair.
He will go full on Kiwami, and he will see, on par with Roshuo power.
I kind of hope,
he goes berserk.
I kind of hope Mai dies, too. If Mai dies,
for the wrong team here.
No. So let me say, if Mai dies, that'll set Michi off a shit ton, Coda off a shit ton,
Joey
and
Wheeler.
We'll have
yeah.
the most probably awesome
Aaron off a shit ton.
Anger, rage fueled battle in Kamen Rider history.
I have a theory.
It'll be amazing.
If Mai dies,
sorry, just something real quick. If Mai actually dies, the whole Priestess of Fate bullshit will happen.
Yes!
Sorry, Paul, go ahead.
Okay, so, this whole thing is about Roshuo trying to revive a woman.
Yep.
This whole thing on Earth is about two guys...
fighting over a woman.
Effectively fighting over a woman. We have a mystery woman who shows up phantasmally all over the place who looks exactly like the woman that they are both fighting over. Can I just say right now that I think that Not My Nay is the spiritual, side of Roshuo's wife?
See,
oh,
I
shit.
Was thinking that, too.
Which makes sense, because we've seen her control the forest. She spawned the Legend Rider lock seeds in the movie.
And it also pushes forward my theory that the fact that Kiwami looks like Roshuo,
yep.
Budo looks like Redway. I see similarities between that big red one.
Dimushu
and
Baron?
Yeah, Dimushu and Baron.
That's how I was thinking.
Yeah, it only pushes forward my theory that the Overlord forms are like the invest forms of the Rider forms. They're like the mutated. They're almost like mutated.
Which makes sense because they source feed off the same. The lock seeds.
Redway kind of said, whereas man uses technology, they have magic.
Plus,
so they've come to the same ends via two different means.
Plus, the actual name of their species is a cipher that translates to the word humans.
Yeah.
This show, man, just fucking gets you thinking. Gets you thinking so much.
And then when Drive starts, it's going to be nowhere near the
No,
spotlights.
I know. Kevin has such confidence. It's like Drive is just... After Gaim, nothing's going to be fucking as good as the show.
In the end,
The Drive Driver! Yeah!
They confirmed his belt's going to be called the Drive Driver, and here I thought they wouldn't do it.
But yeah, I think this whole story is just a rehash of the very same thing that happened to the Overlords. I think it's almost exactly the same situation, and I think Not Mine is basically just the mind of his wife.
Which would partially explain why they can't wake her up.
That's actually, yeah.
That's a good theory.
That makes sense. Good theory, Paul. Wow. Mm. Huh.
Well, we've got that on record if it turns out to be true.
All right, okay, cool.
I have one question. We were watching the intro to the very, very first episode. Of Guardians.
Oh yeah, the whole possible future scene.
Now, you guys say possible future.
Well, that's what the wiki calls it.
Fine. I have to ask this: do they have Sengoku drivers?
Yes.
They have full-on Sengoku drivers.
Yep.
Okay. See, I was thinking that it might be flashes of the battle that happened in the Envest world, because it would support my idea that Riders
that was that they became the overlords.
Yes. They mentioned this belt looks a lot like the thing that we used to have. Like it reminds us of the thing that we used to use in order to use the fruit.
Well, the way I read it on the subs is Roshuo literally just transformed all of them into their current forms to save them from the forest.
Yeah.
And they keep commenting that man came up with a completely different method, and that was the belt.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been commenting on how we both came to, like, a similar idea, but through two very, very different means.
Okay, so it's not necessarily about the armor, it's about the fact that the Lockseed has inside of it that basic form.
So either way, they've stated flat out, mankind made these little devices, whereas Roshuo used magic to convert the other guys into what they are.
Okay, fine, so it might not be an evolutionary thing. We won't have Riders turning into overlords, but
Except Kota's kind of having moments.
That whole thing makes me think that that's metaphorical, because the power is still going to be there. You're still drawing from the exact same power source. It's just Roshuo has a more natural way of calling on it,
mm-hmm.
because he's more well-versed with an art that's similar to the sort of thing that the Golden Apple works on. It's a magical artifact, like any other magical artifact.
Yeah.
And he's a magical creature. He said that world was more based in magic than it was in technology.
Yeah.
So it had he had an easier time understanding the power of the Golden Apple and could take it further. Because humanity is technologically limited, because our imagination works into the things that we can rationally put together with a concrete result.
Imagination.
We don't have the ability to draw everything out of it yet, because we understand things little by little, whereas someone who understands magic would come to understand more out there concepts more quickly.
See, I don't like to think of that like opening scene of the first episode to be like a future of what happened, but kind of an introduction to where each character stands in the show. So, like, or, like, you know, how they introduced them. So, like, do you see Takatora and Michi together? Because they're brothers.
Like,
so,
a full-on
metaphor? Yeah, like, it's a metaphor, yes. Kota and Baron, they're kind of rivals against each other. So, you know, they try to...
Could that whole scene have just been a huge metaphor to set up character alignment?
Exactly! Exactly.
God forbid a filmmaker create a shot. Because
honestly, dude, if that battle was actually the possible future, then why isn't Guy in fucking Kiwami arms? Why isn't Baron in Lemon Energy arms? Why aren't they in their proper
forms?
There's
any number of possible reasons.
Yeah.
Maybe the other Lockseeds got destroyed.
What if it's a dream? Mm.
The only thing
What if
that...
it's a dream that
See?
They...
Like, yeah, there's yeah. that. It could be anything. We
yeah.
won't
that
know
tree...
until...
That tree at the shrine has magical properties. It's at the center of all of this, and we've been ignoring it for quite some time.
It's seen fucking scream
there was,
first scene for
We've
decade.
Talked about it for some time, because Redoue has told us that tree was her servant, because she dropped that through the portal into Zawame some time ago and was planning to use it as a foothold to get into Earth.
Yep. Okay, but... It could be the source. It could be the source of all this from the very beginning, like just that whole they were receiving these dreams sort of thing because Yggdrasil was crossing over.
It could be anything.
It was never explicitly
until they
stated.
Decide to tell us what the point of that scene was. We can't really.
The only one thing
one
that really kind of throws a wrench in any sort of logic was everything kind of pieces together nicely, except for Junoichi is on Baron's side.
Really?
Yeah. Gridon is behind Baron.
The only thing they share
weird.
Is having the same melody on their belts.
And if that's warrant enough.
No, it's not. That's my point.
Right? It's just kind of like, well, that doesn't explain Takatora and Michi. So
yeah, that's
like,
that's the worst part of that scene, is the fact that Takatora and Michi are standing together, and where we are in the show, there's no fucking way that's going to happen.
Very okay with it.
Yeah.
And just kind of, and I was like, I might have believed there could have been some resolve maybe in the future. Any hope of that I had is out the goddamn window.
Oh, yeah.
Just kind of after this, like,
Takatora has no brother.
Yeah, exactly. By next episode, he's going to be like, Michi died a long time ago.
Oh, I can't wait for that fight, you guys.
I know, it's going to be epic.
That's my theory on where... I kind of exposit a little theory on where I think Gaim is going.
Hey, man, sound. I like it.
I don't know. You make some good points.
Good, yeah.
I talk a lot about belt mechanics. You talk a lot about theories on the show. We get a lot of varying conversation here. I like it.
Raven! What are your thoughts on this episode?
Come on, Hatcaster, tell us.
Oh, sorry, just one more thing. No, literally, I have one more point! So
I know you have another point.
Can Kota just like steal the melon energy log seed and do Jinba melon already?
That'll probably happen.
I want to know what it does.
I know.
Defense form.
That's probably what I said.
That's very likely.
Melon defender.
I'm sorry. They're the Kuga forms.
Yes, absolutely. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, just to continue on what I just said there. Yeah, no, the Jinba forms are the Kuga forms. Lemon is mighty form.
And it's funny because the armor itself works
Peach,
like Deno.
Yes, Peach is Pegasus. So it kind of follows in that Melon would be the Jinba Melon would be the same thing as Titan form, the defensive heavy.
Imagine Jinba is just some weird homage to Kuga.
Yeah,
and Deno at the same
and
time.
And Kima.
Kind of
think about what the Kima
was a huge homage to Kuga.
Can we just bring up the idea that might just be a lack of creativity? Like
might be.
It's more along the lines of it's.
Well, remember when Gaim was first like announced, whatever, and stuff like that. They said they were going to base it off of a lot of previous Heisei like rider, things.
Four different utility forms like Kuga and Deno. A lot of human death like Fize.
Yeah. Great writing like Kabuto.
Betrayal. Oh. Yeah, stuff like that.
Betrayal like Kiva.
Yeah, something like that. Anyways. Another thing I just wanted to comment on. Kaito's the habit of starting with his Sengoku driver on.
That's just how you know he doesn't give a shit about taking his enemy.
This guy seems to be an overlord. Oh, I'm just going to pull up my Sengoku driver right now, and yep.
See how that goes.
Well, yeah, see, that's what I like to think.
Oh, no,
like,
he's giving me just a little harder time. Okay, well, I'm going to switch out to my Genesis driver now, and...
Without losing the suit.
Yes,
we've established he can do that. Stop arguing.
I love that.
Yeah. The other thing... Apparently, Earth Tech plugs into Helheim Vines.
Yeah.
Weird.
Which means we need to stop using Vine on our phones, or else we're going to get the life energy sucked out of us.
But I like watching
All Vine. Technology can be powered by Vine.
What were you saying on Raven's first point?
Oh, I was saying, like, you mentioned, like, Baron, like, I like to think that, like, Kevin was saying, like, oh, I like to think Kaito, you know, he'll see a bunch of us and be like, oh, well, these aren't, you know, I don't need to use my Genesis driver on these guys. Just goes banana arms and kicks their ass.
I'm like, no one has ever established that the Genesis driver has a limit to it of any kind.
No. It's just, I think it's like Baron Kaido knows when it's appropriate to use it.
That's just it. It's, everyone is so quick to just kind of be like, it's nice or it's weird that Kaido still uses banana arms. And I was like, and no one bats an eye that Kota still uses base form orange?
Well, my opinion hasn't changed. I hated orange arms when it showed up. I still hate orange arms. If I brought it up, I'd just be repeating myself.
But all I mean by that is it's up to them to acknowledge, oh, it's a bunch of numpties. Why go overkill?
Put it to you this way. I don't like banana arms in the same way that you don't like orange arms, but I acknowledge the fact that it's a completely different issue with the fact that he starts out with banana arms. I respect the fact that he starts out with his weaker form almost as a sort of, like... Goku trope. He's sort
Did
of...
Did you say Goku trope?
Yeah, Goku trope.
Toku trope
that
is what
too,
I said.
Though.
No, it's a Goku trope.
It is
that,
a Goku trope.
That too, yeah. though.
Wow,
it's
okay.
A Goku trope. It's very much just that, you know what? I'm not gonna humiliate you. You're
Let's
way
make this fair.
Yeah, let's make this fair. I've got a lesser form. You're a lesser thing. Let's see if you can take me down.
They're both very use appropriate power as needed.
Yeah.
Even though there is no explicit limit on or like no wrong side or flip side or consequence to using them. Although using Kiwami is proving to have some sort of consequence on him.
But anyways,
it's a Toku trope. I shouldn't bang on this too much.
Mm. All right.
That's about all I have.
Yeah. So, yeah. Alright, everyone, we know what's coming up next.
Yeah.
Shippachinko!
Retro Sentai Tokyuger!
Okay, so, starting us off on Tokyuger, Mr. Blackcaster is going to take front stage this time.
Yay.
I would normally give this to Lane if it weren't for something very important that I needed to mention.
Yep.
Now, I, among the majority of this panel, can't stand this show very much.
Nope.
You mean the rest? You mean you're part of the 4 out of 5?
Yeah, that one. But last episode, I found that we've introduced this remarkably interesting character, and I go, this gets me excited. This was a very exciting addition to the show, to the point where I was shocked and amazed to find myself sitting there all week going, I can't wait to watch Tokyuger. And I thought it was so weird, and I go, no, you know what? Because they did it, what was it, episode 7? Where I go, that was a good episode. Maybe next week will be good. And the episode was fucking garbage.
No, episode 7 was the one that was garbage.
Oh, okay, well then it was episode 6 going into episode 7, regardless. Mm-hmm. But I sat there and I went, looking at this episode going, oh, this is really good. I like this a lot.
Yeah, man.
And I'm sitting there and I'm going, what's happening that all of a sudden I'm enjoying Tokyuger? And then it dawned on me. Guys, Zero-No showed up.
Yeah.
How do you take the most poo show I've ever seen and make it interesting?
Fucking awesome.
Fucking Zero-No's. Tokyu Rokugo seems to have this charm to him that is keeping me glued to the screen at all times, because I don't give a shit about the other 5. I'm sitting there going, what's Zaram doing this week? I'm really, really interested.
What's up with Tommy? Hey, Tommy. You're the new protagonist.
Right.
What's up with
you? You're the leader.
God damn it.
I'm staying quiet.
Thank you. First note I have to make about this episode, I thought it was really interesting because they mentioned it in passing to the point where I was taken back and just went, oh, no, that's awesome. When they find out that, Zaram still has, the drill Russia, he just kind of goes in, and was it Schwartz?
Yeah.
Was like, how dare he steal the drill Darkliner? And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
That was... No, that makes a lot of sense. Why else would he have it? He was so important, he had his own train. And I was like, that's really cool that he's even able to... By the power of imagination, I'm sure, utilize it in a new system.
Yep.
And yeah. I thought that was really cool.
Which kind of gives me hope that maybe the Kariners will be used...
That's the other show.
That maybe the Kariners will be used in the Tokyuger system at some point.
Which also raises the question of if the Reshas are corruptible.
That is also true.
Is it possible that by the power of Grayskull...
has been looking for them.
Yeah. Right? I was going
to
say,
he obviously wants to test that theory.
They sure found, when they found the, was it the tank Russia?
Yeah.
Schwartz was like, shit. They found it first.
I'm willing to bet that at some point, Schwartz will find a support Russia first and corrupt it and attach it to his Kariner.
Sounds good to me.
I mean, bring it on.
I was going to say, anything to change it up a bit, is it's those curveballs that are going to keep the show more interesting than... I saw that coming.
Dark Tokyo, I want it to happen. I want to buy the toy.
Shadow Tokyo.
Yeah, Shadow Tokyo.
It could be so silly.
It would be black and gold. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's... The logic applies to characters, not Zords.
Well, there is a black and gold MMPR Megazord.
Dark Koryugin.
There's a black Koryugin.
Which, while are really cool, I don't feel capitalizes on any sort of cool factor. I think they're
Itchy
differently cool.
Itchy mentions a black MMPR Megazord, which I totally own.
That's why I looked at you when I said it.
Yeah,
that's why when I see you see it, I'm gonna steal it.
Something else that I was thinking about was when we're talking to
you need to mix it with your Zords.
When was it
Zaram was talking to Zed, and he mentions it's like how are like to test the ability of his shine.
Yeah.
He wanna go how like, you know, you can't just quit. I wanna see how much you shine. Cause this whole thing is I want to protect the rainbows. It was this really weird, but
it's,
I went with it.
It's basically Zed going, how did you Tokuger? I wanna.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's like, you're clearly able to, so I want to know how that works. Which, you know, I'm thinking about that, and I go, so it's possible for a shadow to engage in the pursuit of light in some way, shape, or form. It doesn't have to be the same for everyone, but it happens. That Rokugo is able to do it, and Zed was like, I feel like we're undergoing the same phenomenon. I want to know more about that. He's basically just doing a bit of research. Which I think, now that we have a concrete formula for how something like that works, that only puts more confidence in my theory of Zed becoming Tokuzero.
The thing
with hell, I initially theorized he'd end up Rokugo, but
okay,
here
well,
we are.
Okay, quickly for 1 second. I'm currently holding in my hand, because you can't see it, but I have the Rainbow Russia, so it's like this little promotional Russia that they released with if you bought like Dieselo and together as a thing. So I got one. And so there are 7 colors on this thing. There's red, pink, orange, yellow, green, blue, and then purple is the very last color. So I like to, I have a theory that Tokuzero might be like a purple ranger.
Like
it might
a
be
darker.
A thing.
While I understand that is a very real possibility, there have been some rumors and magazine scans showing Tokuzero being silver.
Oh, interesting. Well, silver is pretty cute.
Well, I completely agree with the theory that you're laying down, and yes, I am hoping that Zed becomes Tokuzero.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, the whole a shadow can pursue light thing is not 100% explained yet, because they have established that shadows need the power of darkness to survive, but we don't know if Zaram is simply ignoring his need for darkness, and that's why he's looking for a place to die, because he will do it if he ignores darkness long enough. Or if he has actually found a way to break the shadow's need for darkness. That's something we need to explore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One other, like, I wouldn't call it major. It's a point that has always kind of irked me that for plot's sake, I understand completely, but just fundamentally I don't understand. When Conductor and Ticket are all, we should henshin again. We can do that. And
that was cool.
And Conductor's like, no, that won't work. And I go, well, yeah, you don't exactly look fighting fit. And Wagon pipes up again. Hey, can I be Tokyo Rokugo? And everyone is entirely against it. And I go, you're this train that has a robot, and this whole ordeal is powered by imagination. Why can't she be?
Because she would do nothing but take selfies.
But that doesn't excuse that.
Tokyo
it's
selfie.
It's not
Tokyo
that she can't.
Selfie.
It's that she shouldn't.
Yeah, but they make it seem so matter of fact. That's not possible.
She's the food trolley.
That, they're saying that so it won't happen because they know it would be disastrous.
More disastrous than Ticket Rokugo.
Equally
because
disastrous.
How could that have gone?
Ticket
well,
Rokugo's
equally disastrous.
Shit.
They would be equally effective.
Ticket Rokugo.
I want to see Ticket Rokugo wield the Yudo Breaker.
Oh dear.
I want to see Naru from Love Hina Rokugo.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
It would be super weird because we've seen that as Rokugo, Ticket retains
his
idea, like structurally. I can only imagine what Wagon would look like
okay.
as Tokuroku.
It would be pretty much the same, only curvier and in a skirt.
Photoshop that shit.
And handles.
All over the place.
Because she's a construction, vehicle.
In all the right places.
Oh, goddamn.
Yeah, those handles would just be
grabbing onto her like a freaking roller coaster.
But yeah, I
no,
had another point, but I'll discuss that later
yeah,
in the discussion. So, who are we passing
well,
on over.
Yes,
oh, yeah, Lane.
I gotta say, I'm liking Zed more and more. I love him.
I've always found him a little bit interesting, even when he's not doing a thing, and I go, you're cool because you're the leader of the big bads, and you're so willing to shy away from
Yeah,
her nature.
Because even, like, Nero and Noir, they just keep going, they're like, why do you keep pursuing the light? Like, what made you so obsessed with this? And Zed's just like, both of you, fuck off.
I just love how consistently he'll just casually release a huge pulse of darkness just to get everyone to
yeah.
up.
And so, like...
Like, anyone just says a thing to him.
Yeah, so, like, yeah, well, if anyone speaks against him, his, what he thinks, like, he's like, fuck
just,
you. But no.
Just
so, like,
Zed used Dark
yeah,
Pulse,
so,
super effective.
So Schwartz was, like, ranting out loud or whatever about Zom and...
Nero and Noir flinched.
Yeah, and so Zed comes over, he's like, oh, were you talking about something, Schwartz? And he's like, oh, your majesty, don't pay no mind. It's like, oh, no, you have a history with this guy, don't you? And then he's like... And then, like, he's like, yeah, yeah, and he's about to walk away, and he's like, oh, by the way, I've seen you've been producing a bit more darkness. Stop doing shit on your own behind my back.
Brow.
Yeah, Dark Pulse sends him flying, and he's just like, nice to see, yeah, it's weird seeing Schwartz get fucking sent flying on his ass, and I'm like,
yep.
You're better than that.
I like seeing powerful villains get put in their fucking square.
I know.
Back in your box, General.
That was
Schwartz.
Really cool. But
back in your box.
When it's one thing I have to mention quickly. During like after their first henshin, like when Rokugo transforms, or whatever, like that. They all start fighting, and you just see Rokugo just standing there, just like looking really cool. Then it just does this really, really awesome shot where it's just like it slows down, and you just see them all, like all the other Tokyo just fight. And he's just walking down the stairs,
yep.
just really like confident, all fucking badass, and just walking towards Ring Shout, and I'm just like. This is one of the coolest shots I've ever seen in a Tokyo.
And
I just want I want a GIF of this permanently.
And then he proceeds to do what he always does and throw his sword aside. And
fuck
just,
yes, I
and
love
just
when he does
tackle,
that.
And just tackle
just
the bitch off the stairs.
Just like, fuck you, I'll fight you, RL.
Also, another
just,
thing. Excuse
me. Throw his sword, tackles bitch down the stairs.
Yeah, I hope he does that.
I hope he does that often.
It's, well, think about it this way. He's a shadow.
He's used to
I was
gonna fighting
say,
barehanded.
Not accustomed to using a weapon.
Yeah.
He is his weapon.
And then Ticket's just back on the train, like, screaming through the communicator, use your fucking weapon! You have one! Use it!
Use your goddamn five
squirrel! And you just see him get up from behind the stairs, like, oh, where'd it go? Oh, there it is. I'm just gonna go pick that up.
I got it!
Thanks. I have to quick mention, like, Hikari is kind of one of my least favorite Tokyuuchi members. Like, Mio and... Actually, yeah.
Because
Mio,
he's the serious
yeah,
one.
Mio and Hikari, I don't like that much. But it was Hikari. Great. It was awesome finally seeing Hikari be like, you know what?
Fuck it.
Light's... No, yeah. Light's an idiot, but...
I'm gonna stop
I'm
trying.
I'm just gonna fucking stop. There's... Once, I can't reason with the guy. He won't listen to me. He won't listen to anyone. Just, you know what? I don't trust you. But if Light says you're cool, then you're cool.
I'm looking forward to your inevitable betrayal.
And he just, no, and the funny thing is, he just
feels sudden but inevitable betrayal.
And just Cogger pulls Cogger. She's just like, yay! Everyone's so happy!
You know, because Cogger had to say a thing this episode.
And the thing about Zeron that I really like is, like, he's always talking about, he's like, oh... I need to, like, I'm a protector of the Rainbow Line. I must do it alone without being seen. And Tokai just, like, is like, we know. We've seen you. We know you exist.
Your secret is out.
Your secret's out. We know.
And he just ignores them and walks off.
Yeah. And it's interesting. As far as the next episode I've seen, apparently Tokai wants to be, like, buddy-buddy with them. Like, try to understand, like, why are you so, like,
because
down?
Because we haven't had a Tokai episode in a while.
Yeah, that was a great episode.
Let's keep that up, shall we?
Yeah, keep it up, Tokai.
Can the show just be about Akira now?
Though honestly, I will admit one of the best episodes in the series so far was the Tokai episode.
The one where he died.
Exactly.
wasn't a whiny bitch about it.
We are horrible, bitter people.
I know,
the
right?
Best episode.
I mean, I know. All right.
Yes,
but then he was fine. So
Death in
okay.
Toku is always cool because it makes
the
it more interesting.
The episode was actually titled "Tokati Dies at Dusk."
Yes.
And then he got back up afterwards.
Overall,
he died. What happened? I got better.
Overall, this was a fantastic.
And then suddenly revived.
Overall, this was a fantastic episode. Light, as always, continues to impress the fuck out of me. Raven's gonna go more into Light's badassness when with him. But
right, badassness.
This was a great episode. Keep it going, Tokuger. These guys are starting to get a bit more interested, so please keep it up.
So you're telling the Tokuger...
They're starting to see the light of Tokuger.
None of us are starting to agree with you.
You could say that they're on the right track.
You're still alone.
Well, Rokugo's kind of bringing Kevin around a bit, so...
One character does not
agree.
Cool,
it's bringing Kevin around the track, if you know what I mean.
I'm gonna murder you in your sleep.
One character,
it's not hard. We know where he sleeps.
One character does not a good show make, Lane.
Tendo?
There were also...
There were
I was
several!
Say,
there
were plenty of those.
In that show.
I know, I was joking. Anyways.
Anyways, yeah, great episode.
Anyways, Mr. Paul.
Well, Paul didn't watch it, so...
You didn't watch it?
No, not me.
I know.
Damn it.
Any idea, anything to say about what we've said so far?
You should watch it for Zed, man. You'll like Zed.
It's Lord
Emperor
I mean,
fucking
Emperor
Darkness.
Zed.
If there's one person in this entire thing who sounds like he could intrigue me in the way that I'd like to, that you guys have been talking to, it has been Zed. He does sound like the most, like, he sounds like he's got the most going on right now, despite the fact that he's quite, he sounds quite jokey.
Implying anyone else has anything going on.
Yeah,
he sounds like the only person with any sort of motivation or personality.
If Zed keeps up this badassness that he's doing as a villain, even if he becomes a hero, he might get up there with, like, with Enter from my favorite Sentai villain. Because Enter's my favorite Sentai villain right now. Oh.
And of course, Rokugo sounds cool. Like, he sounds like a pretty decently cool guy. And I like the idea of an Orange Ranger that has...
It is the first official Orange Ranger.
SPD Orange.
Pretty cool. That is pretty cool. I mean, like, I could go on and on about the aspects of the show and the episodes that I have seen that I like and I don't like. It's just that I haven't caught up to the point where I could coherently talk about what's going on right now, so...
Don't say no, just watch more.
Yeah. It's at that point.
That's right, I went there.
Yes. That's but all yeah, like the things that you're talking about do entice me to want to watch more.
No,
it's just,
no.
I have to catch... I have some more catching up to do before I can...
You gotta
catch
a doki.
No.
I'm sorry. Okay, so...
Ichi.
Okay, so, I'm kind of sad they still haven't added Rokugo to the opening.
That'll be next episode.
But probably next episode. Zed decided his new hobby, singing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
That's interesting, yeah.
Key. I don't know. But yeah, you can tell he's, like, really got a boner for Light at this point.
In more ways than one!
Ew, Ichi, that's gross! He has a boner for Light?
I didn't even notice that!
And Light. And shiny thing.
I realized that the minute I said it. Wait.
I'm pretty sure he does. That's
I was
the funny
say.
Name of this episode, Boner for Light.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Yep.
Nailed it.
I just realized something, and this is completely off topic. It's actually about the show that we were just talking about, but a shot just went through my head. Something that David said a little while ago. Guy has something against patio furniture. We had another patio furniture attack in this episode. No, I'm serious. Like, just that went through. I'm so sorry, but that just went through my head right now, and I just laughed in my head because it's like the various times where just like I've seen an Invest or an Overlord just knock over a whole bunch of patio furniture and then just move the fuck on. I'm just like, do the writers of this show have something against small, quaint patios?
Patio furniture killed their parents.
Patio furniture killed my father and raped my mother.
It's cheap to,
all four legs.
To use just to go nah, with a stick.
They should.
It wibbles and wobbles, but it doesn't fall down. Except then it falls down, but
the
it's still okay.
The more logical thing, if some sort of like you know dinette set or like patio furniture set killed your family,
they didn't want to break the good china.
Is to become the
patio furniture
chairman. The Muskoka chairman.
With the powers
that's
light furniture.
There.
I'm Benchman.
Yeah. I'm the right Benchman now. Anyways, yeah, Benchman coming soon. But yeah, back to Tokyo.
Is he going to cross over with Gavan?
No.
Yeah. So, yeah, what Lane was saying earlier about fucking Tokyo Rokugo just going fucking grappling wrestling moves balls to the wall with the fucking every enemy he fights is fucking hilarious, and I hope he does it all the time.
It's awesome.
And for me, the funniest part of the episode is, like, it's focusing on the Drill Russia, so when they shift to the Megazord fight, the way they debut the Drill Russia is it literally drills through the underground up the Monster of the Week's ass.
Oh my, yeah, I saw that and I'm like, ow! Oh my!
And he was like, I've never been good at that way before. Like, he just got raped, literally.
By a drill.
Which was also a train!
Oh, can actually
they ran a train out of his ass!
You know what I noticed about Rokugo? You know, okay, yes, he tosses his weapon, but I actually noticed that when, like, Tigger was yelling at him, he's like, oh, that's where it is. It's over there. He just spontaneously forgot that, like,
It's like he's got in his head that he wants to fight this dude, and he automatically thinks he's gonna fight him, so he just feels something in his hand. What the fuck is this shit? I don't fucking need this. Throws it without even remembering what it is.
Where is my weapon?
Oh, and then he just pokes his head out. Oh, what? I have a weapon? Oh, right, it's over there.
You can't say no when they're a train.
But yeah, so the Drill Russia just pierces the ring shadow's ass, and then they kill
the drill that will pierce his head.
Like a sock ring.
Yeah, and then they attach the Drill Russia to Tokyo, and it does the finishing drill.
Yeah, ring shadow.
Tornado! Okay.
Yeah.
Because drills do that.
The Drillnado.
Giga Dorian Breaker! Yeah, obvious joke. Anyways, I'm looking forward to next week, as I'm sure Lane is, because next week we get Build Dio, a.k.a. the two-story train that becomes its own battle zord.
It's awesome. I need that Megazord just so I can make the final fucking...
Ultrazord,
yes.
Interesting point is that Bandai uploaded some videos on their channel showing off not only Build Dio, but it, like, how to change its modes and shit.
See, yeah, I find it really cool that, like, Bandai decided to do that, because it's interesting. But it also shows to me that, I guess, is they think that these Megazords, like, because they show the Safari Russia as well, I guess they think that these Megazords are really, like, complicated to build.
These are the easiest Megazords in a long time!
Well, Tokyo is.
Yeah.
But Build Dio, like, I watched the video. It was, like, 8 minutes long, and it's showing, like, every little piece that you can, what you can do with it.
Well, the reason it's 8 minutes long is because every single step is extrapolated for time like nobody's business. Like, like every little turn and twist and button press is a minimum 10-second clip.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still interesting that they're doing that. I hope they do more of that with, like, future toys.
Yeah.
Go for it, Bandai.
Go for it.
Off topic, that is terrible time management in your editing. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Not yours, the ads.
Welcome to Mandate.
It's awful.
Yeah.
And yeah, the one thing that was funny is that, like, even after Rokugo's, like, officially joined the team and he's all happy with them and, like, yeah, I'm Toki Rokugo, he just and this will be my dying endeavor. Are you still on about wanting to die? And then just walks off, not actually joining them. And my thought is, like, yeah, I'm happy. Toki Rokugo resumes emo.
Yeah.
I'm like, how long is this nonsense gonna go on?
The entire show.
And another thing to note is, like, they've talked a while about how you need a certain amount of imagination to be a Tokuger. It's like a prerequisite. And the prerequisite that Zaram, aka Akira, fulfills is not from just having imagination, but part of the reason they defeat the monster is because he has so committed to the fact that he has discarded his old identity as Zaram the Shadow that he has completely erased it as his own name, and thus the ring monster's power is he puts a ring on you, and when he says your name, you get a huge headache. So when he puts one on Zaram and says
your name is written on the forehead,
and he says the name, and he is so convinced that he has discarded his old life through the power of his imagination. That it does not affect him.
That was
cool. Excuse me?
Yeah. That's what
happens.
This
monster's power is to put a ring on you and to give you a headache when it calls your name.
Yes.
You so it's the white
not
kaiju?
Not when anybody says your name.
And he
it
has
gives
evil,
you a migraine.
He also has evil kiss bombs.
Yes.
This is the most sexist kaiju I've ever heard.
And it's a male voice.
And it sounds like every single stereotypical housewife evil power one could have.
In monster form.
In monster form.
Jesus Christ, I never really thought about that, but yeah.
That's kind of sexist. That's like if Peggy Bundy was a Power Rangers villain.
Wasn't she?
she was. It's just,
she was pretty evil.
This is the power of Al!
Yeah.
Emo resumes.
That's pretty... I mean, I don't want... I hope I'm not reaching or anything like that, but that sounds kind of sexist.
You mean a toku show might have an alternate agenda? Blowing up North America with missiles. Nah.
not featuring your female characters terribly prominently in a toku series? Nah, that doesn't happen. There's plenty of representation.
And it's so varied, too.
Yeah! Like, you know, all that yellow and pink and the occasional blue, I suppose.
But when they're in their civilian forms, they've got really, really different personalities. I mean, they can be bubbly, they can be silly.
They can be the tomboy.
They can be the bitch.
Jets.
And that's it.
Moving on!
Yeah, bubbly.
I had another point, but I seem to have forgotten it.
Indeed.
A Blue Ranger was a chick once. And
that's
she
what
was...
I said. The occasional blue.
Oh, right.
I suppose.
I was gonna say yeah. There was also the one from Gal Ranger who they called the White Ranger, even though she had pink on her.
Yeah,
that's bullshit.
Live Man. That's the one that had the female Blue Ranger.
Also, Magi Ranger. Also, I don't know if it was in Cocker Ranger, but in Alien Ranger, the White Ranger was the female.
I have no idea if that carried.
No.
Over.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway,
moving on. My point.
Actually, yes, it did. I'm sorry. I was thinking.
First and foremost, I was just noticing one thing in that thing. Tokyo Rokugo walks up in front of the shadow monster that's, you know, doing its shit. And they're just having this little casual conversation. And it's like.
Like two old work buddies.
Yeah. So the shadows recognize him in his human form.
Like, did he always have that form?
Like, took a look at it. It was like, hey, Ring Shadow. Oh, hey, Zaram, how are you doing?
I'm like, what?
No, it's like Tokyo Rook. It's like the guy's been walking around in his job to fix the Rainbow Line tracks, keeps walking through these Dark Line taking over stations, and just has, like, little chats and drinking moments with his old coworkers.
Yeah.
I just had the worst thought.
Uh-huh.
What if Kaiju... don't perceive each other as kaiju, and they're just business people coming into work every day.
Maybe. Yeah!
That's morbid.
I see it in the same light that...
Oh, you said the secret word!
That Zed can see and identify light.
Yeah.
It's just kind of... they can just tell.
They can sense each other's soul
darkness,
or some shit.
Yeah. Darkness.
Their dark aura.
No birds. Yeah.
Zed remote.
Still rich though.
Zed remote controls a Kariner. Light immediately knows it's Zed controlling it.
Yep.
It's the. Oh, it's Zed. And everyone was like, what?
Yeah.
Yes, Light's a badass.
Yeah. Anyways, now onto my. Now onto the side of shit that. What the fuck were they thinking?
It's time for the What the Fuck Tokyuger Corner!
It's time for the What the Fuck Tokyuger This Show is Shit Corner!
What?
First and foremost, Light got hit with one of those rings. He had it around his head for half of the episode.
Yep.
He was captured by Zed, and they were literally torturing him with it.
Yep. Literally, the monster was going, light, 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 and like spamming it like a fucking internet commenter.
Spam migraines. Yeah. Spam migraines.
Yeah.
Eventually, to a point where Zed was like, cut that out.
Yeah.
Zed's just like, this is getting annoying. Fucking take it off. Well, it doesn't have, I can't just take it off of him.
I'd like to imagine that if the monster had mentioned, yeah, the only way to take them off is if I die.
Yeah, Zed kills him. No, but that's he literally, Zed's just like, cut this the fuck out. This is getting annoying. Take it off of him. Well, it doesn't have an off switch. And then not 5 minutes later, Zaram's having his moment. No, literally, 5 minutes later, Light pulls a, I just remembered something. What? Light's not my actual name.
What?
That's why it's not affecting me anymore.
It's not affecting me anymore because that's not my real name. Oh, well, then picks up the headband and just takes it off of him effortlessly.
Because he's like, I'll just replace it with a new one.
It's like, 5 minutes prior. I doesn't have an off switch. I can't just take it off. Takes it off effortlessly 5 minutes later.
That's bullshit.
I'm just like, either this guy just straight up lied to his fucking lord and emperor right there, or fuck, continuity error.
Guys, this
what?
Show...
What? Tokuger with a continuity error?
Guys.
Speaking of that.
Guys, that's not just a continuity error. There's, like, having inconsistencies from one episode to one episode is one thing. That is an inconsistency from scene to scene.
In the same
episode. Literally.
The same one after.
The very next
shot.
Yep.
The way I saw it was he said he can't turn it off. He didn't say he couldn't take it off.
That's still omission of information to his fucking lord and master.
Not necessarily. He can't turn it off. He wouldn't want to remove it. That kind of defeats the purpose of having it.
Well, if the guy's already, like, being held there, can't move his arms, okay, I'll take it off for a second so you can actually have a conversation with him like you want.
Eh.
Nope. Anyways, next up, how do they get...
Wait, you didn't mention the rest of the whole my name isn't light thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, it was like, my name isn't actually light. It won't affect me anymore. Takes it off, gets himself free. Ha! I was lying! It totally fucking hurt.
I just got good at hiding it.
I just got so used to hiding it that it doesn't that I could hide the pain.
I'd like to
fuck that hurt.
I'd like to think that somehow the pain just became too much and he actually suffered brain damage. Yeah.
Like that's
and brain
hard.
Damage.
Thus again,
yes, 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 yes. Suffered.
Thus again,
like it wasn't there in the first.
No,
place.
I mean like more brain damage.
Thus again, proving why Light is the badass motherfucker.
Right,
he's able
if that's
get
what,
out of himself.
If that's what you get out of that, cool.
You can't hurt me because I got nothing in there to hurt.
Pretty much. Wait.
Well, it's true.
Hold on, let me try that again.
Light outsmarted the monster
by having no brain.
Yes.
So, oh yeah. Next up.
Good enough for the scarecrow.
Next up, the Tokugers show up in the midst of all this with
the perfect answer to this problem.
With an answer to the problem because Zaram's got one of those
no,
things
it
on
wasn't.
His head
it
now
was
too.
A dumb fucking answer.
I know.
Within
no,
the context
Zaram,
of the show, it was
Zaram
the
has
answer.
One of those rings around his head now too, and now it's affecting him because his head's like injected him with a shit ton of darkness.
And of course, the ring monster's spamming his name too.
Yeah, so he's got one too. How did the Tokugers solve this? Well, they show up with the frigging coupling bazooka in hand already.
Yep.
Apparently, they don't need Light.
Somehow they got Light's
weapon. Somehow
they
got Light's weapon, despite the fact that he's not transformed and, you know, captured. But whatever. Overlooking that.
I'm going to go ahead and say Conductor became Tokuichigo for a moment.
Ignoring that, it's just the fact that, how are we going to solve this? Well, we're going to shoot Zaram with the coupling bazooka.
I'm like, what? What are you
We're
doing?
Going to fire our ultimate weapon at our sixth ranger. Why? What are you? Why are you shooting? And he's just like, oh, you're gonna kill me now? Awesome.
He's on board with this.
No, but and
Summer.
No, you know what they did? They shot a rainbow at him. They shot a rainbow at him, and they shot a new name at him.
Yep.
Like, the effect that would have been an explosion was the kanji for his new name that they shot into him.
Like, the Beatles' Yellow Submarine shooting words that actually are love at things.
Yes.
Like, love.
Yeah. His name is Rainbow.
His name is Vivid Rainbow.
Niji no Akira.
There is a Power Ranger named Vivid Rainbow.
Yes.
I'm out.
Vivid Rainbow!
And so Paul leaves.
I surrender my Green Ranger powers. Good luck to you.
No. Fine, I'll be.
Light has no brain. It's in a train. Rainbow Rasha!
I'll be. Yeah, you mean this thing? I'll be Pink Green Greencaster now.
Okay.
Great, you're Kimberly and Tommy. Go kiss
yourself. Anyways, the one last thing I have to say, and this isn't on our notes right now, but I just remembered it and how stupid it was.
That must have been hard.
Yes. It was such a small detail, and I forgot to note it down when I watched it earlier today. But whoever the fuck mentioned the team roll call, the full six-member roll call that was done, reminded me of this. So, during that team roll call, they pulled the usual thing where they all, like joint link up, like, together in a lineup, and then do the thing.
The whole thing where they spin around.
Yeah, where they do the spin around thing that actually does have a cool effect. And, you know, so the first five do it, and then as soon as the Pink Ranger finishes hers, you just see Zaram, you see Tokyo Rokugo standing there like, I have to do
just lean slightly to the left and go, hey, and
win. I am here.
I'm like, oh, really?
And I'm just like, wow.
That was amazing.
That was stupid.
And that's going to be his pose forever.
That was retarded. Like, okay, you had this really cool roll call thing where they actually... The one thing about the show I will admit is cool is that little fucking roll call thing where they do the motion around. It's
even
really,
though I always laughed at the
really
fact
in sync motion where they're just spinning around like that with each other, and then just Roku goes in the background like, oh, shit.
Lee left, hi. Although I always laughed at that pose just because Kagura has the least amount of work to do.
Yep. She's invisible for most of it.
Light is literally doing yoga poses, spinning the fuck around, and everyone in line is doing less and less work until Kagura just leans slightly to the right. Hey!
And now Rokugo is just like...
Slightly to the left.
Like, hello there.
And that's going to be what it is forever, you know that.
Yes, exactly. So that's all I have to say.
That was hilarious. I can't believe I forgot that.
Yeah, fantastic episode. I liked it.
Paul, you can come back in now.
I think he's gone.
Oh.
It's okay.
He's gone.
All right, well, we have... Well, here's our topic discussion.
Featured topic.
All right. So, we'll just quickly give... Because we've run through this episode for a long time now. So, we play Kamen Rider Batride War 2. So, it's the Gaim-focused, like, Kamen Rider game. It's fun. It's kind of the same as the first game, but, they improved on a lot of things. They added new riders, added new abilities.
Focused on the movies.
Yeah, the main
focus
is...
Which is probably the best part of this
game. Yeah, they focused on the movies. So
they focused on the best part of the shows, movies.
So Double fights Eternal as Gold Extreme.
On top of the Fudo Tower.
Which, Eternal was, one of the main enemies you fight all the time in the first game, but they never really acknowledge the movie.
Yeah, the Forza movie section, you fight Skydane and Groudane in their, battle vehicle forms, so as Fusion States, that's
pretty
cool.
And then they do the Gaim Wizard movie where you fight Bujin Gaim in his giant flower tree form.
Yeah, that was cool, and you're jumping from tree to tree.
It was actually a really neat battle.
Yeah, it's a really fun game. Baron's broken as shit.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck.
I don't know. If I'm gonna step on some nuts here. I feel like, even after playing the first game, I feel like they had enough time and they didn't work with it. I still feel like the engine's really clunky. Especially the goddamn motorcycles.
Oh, the motorcycles are still... broken, as in literally broken. They're difficult to steer.
Unusable. Yeah. I was to a point where I was like, I need to get over there, yesterday. I better get on my bike.
Yesterday.
Got flung into a wall and went, fuck that. Because the turning...
It's faster if I run!
So, yeah. Am I the only one who in the first game had no issue driving the motorcycle?
No, I didn't either.
Me neither.
Well, clearly.
You just press X to slowly drift, and then you just
there's a
drive
drift button.
Well, I wouldn't know that because that should be the accelerate button.
I might be wrong on this, and I'm back, by the way.
I don't get to be Pink Green Caster.
No, you don't get to be Watermelon Caster. Isn't it the same controls fundamentally as the Steam bikes from .hack.gu?
Kind of.
Oh, God, yeah. Now you think about it. Jesus. That bike was a bitch to fucking drive.
Well, the game is from Bandai Namco.
Yeah, so I'm guessing that's why it's a little bit more second nature to you guys, because you've had practice with that.
Yeah.
It seems to be their standard button configuration.
In my opinion, the game's biggest flaw was something still present in the first game. The loading times are fucking horrible.
You'd think they'd pull, a little bit of... hey guys, we're just gonna preload like the better part of the game on your PS3 right now.
Yeah, like is there an maybe it's just because the game is not translated, but is there an install function somewhere? Because I'd like it to be a thing, please. Thank you. Yes.
Oh.
But yeah, other than that, mission progression is an interesting thing because the movie. Because the villain of the game
Cinema
is Cinema, who is a movie
Cinema with the, Cinema with his film reel dick.
Yeah, and coattails.
And his heart's so cold.
Yeah, his heart's not that cold.
Yeah,
he's making the riders dance for a bunch of ghost children.
Okay. Pretty much the plot of this game in a nutshell. Cinema has captured all the riders, put them into this theater. And he has these two imaginary children, like a boy and a girl. And pretty much the riders are here to entertain these two children
by reenacting
their scenes from their respective movies
and
shows or whatever.
That is the most meta thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, because you'll be in the middle of a level. You'll be in the middle of a level doing something, and then one of the kids will be like, oh, that was really cool. Do this.
New mission like objective.
No, but what I was gonna say is the actual mission select screen is entertaining because you actually pick your mission with movie tickets, and when you pick one, the ticket gets ripped.
Yeah. I hate finding discouraging things in everything we talk about, but it's more than a little discouraging that they basically created the avatar for the age bracket for Kamen Rider and these games and teamed them up with the antagonist and made them his motivation.
Yeah. But
yay! Death, sexism!
There's probably a lot. There's probably some elements of the story.
Doing shit for children's entertainment.
There's probably some parts of the story we're not understanding because the game is not translated and there is no plot synopsis fucking anywhere. I've looked.
It's a Dynasty Warriors knockoff.
Yeah, it's Kamen Rider Dynasty Warriors. We don't need a lot of story. We just want to play as our favorite.
Story, just walk through, beat the crap out of things, and occasionally transform into your ultimate.
See, as cool as this, like, that right is, I miss Climax Heroes. I miss the Rider fighting games. That was cool.
I don't miss Climax Heroes.
Yes, I do. I've been wanting to... That's the reason why I've stopped making videos on my channel, because you don't have a proper copy of Super Climax Heroes anymore, so
well,
I can't play.
Well, so maybe buy a few less figures and just port the actual game.
But I don't know if we can make it work on the Wii. That's the problem.
I don't want to stop buying figures and have to do it.
But the Wii is region locked.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'll get it fixed eventually. It's a difficult process.
Yes. Anyways.
Buy less figures, get a Japanese Wii.
No!
They're probably cheap now.
No!
Actually, yeah, that's the thing.
Meh. They're probably actually pretty cheap now.
Get a J-Wii.
Meh.
I was going to say something and I forgot now. Oh, yeah, the really interesting part of the game is reenacting the movies, because it is, like, they don't take you through the whole movie, it's just like the climactic battles from that movie. Like, from Double, it's the scene where they fight Eternal on the tower. From Gaim Wizard, it's the fight with Baron and then the fight with Bujingaim. And then with Forze, it's the fight with Groundine and Skydine.
All right.
And the cool thing is, you unlock, through the reenacting these movies, each of the riders' movie-exclusive super ultimate forms, like Forze, Meteor, Nadeshko Fusion.
Well, Meteor Fusion.
Yeah. Well, no, you do get Nadeshko Fusion.
Oh, okay.
It's in the logo graphic.
All right.
The first one you unlock is Double Gold Extreme. Which is pretty cool.
So Tatsuba, yes. Wizard Gold Infinity All Dragon.
Kuga Rising Ultimate.
Yep.
No comment?
But yeah, overall, really cool game.
It's fan service.
We'll play more of it.
It is a Rider fan service game.
Oh yeah, that's all it is. Every year they'll do this.
If you are a Rider fan, absolutely recommend. If you're looking for a Dynasty Warriors game, play the actual ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or wait for Hyrule Warriors.
As Chuck very much pointed out when he played the first one, this is not Dynasty Warriors, this is a cheap knockoff.
Yeah.
If you want Dynasty Warriors, play Dynasty Warriors. If you're a Kamen Rider fan, pick it the fuck up, because it's fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially since another fun part is seeing like all the riders in the overly shiny metal suits they've got going on.
And now they've also got all like the movie exclusive forms are part of this too, so you can actually use some other shit.
Yeah, they have made some modifications to not only who's available but how you play as certain forms.
Yep.
A perfect example is in the first game, Kiva's Dogabaki form was only available when you used the one attack that accesses the form.
I'm pretty sure it was the guard break attack, too.
Yes, I think so. And then in this game, the sequel, Dogabaki is actually a playable form, which is great.
Yeah, and all I can say about this game, Apparently, Rising Ultimate Kuga is a thing in this game that you can do. I'm totally on board with that.
I'll let you know when I unlock it.
Please do.
Yeah.
I'm interested in seeing what
My copy of the game comes at some point.
Oh, you did order it?
I picked the slow shipping option.
Okay.
Because I'm cheap like that.
Mine showed up the day after the game came out in Japan.
Yeah. You also.
I love you, PlayAsia.
You also picked, like, I don't know, FedEx or UPS, one of the above.
Yeah.
You picked, like, the within 3 to 5 days.
Within 1 to 2 days.
Oh, wow, even better.
I wanted this game right away.
The gimme option.
Yes, the gimme shipping.
Gimme. I'll pay you an extra $20 or $30 for it. Gimme. I picked cheap shipping options, so somewhere in the court, somewhere in the span of 2 weeks.
I'm like, the cost it takes to ship it here in less than 3 days, I made up for with an hour of work.
Fair point. But at the same time, I go, how often do I actually sit down in front of a game console?
Yeah.
All right, well, this has been a very interesting episode of Cast Ranger, I must say. Went to a lot of in-depth shit, and I like that.
We learned some things about each other we maybe shouldn't have.
And we promote, well, no, we don't promote, but we promoted the fact that we love death
in Toku. Well, if that wasn't obvious already.
Death in Toku makes everything better.
Well, how fucking jovial were you when fucking Sid died? We were talking about that for a while.
Yeah.
So, anyone else, any closing comments?
This game was fun. I'm pretty decent at it, so cool.
I'll be playing more. We'll probably play some more tomorrow or something, I don't know.
Yeah. Thanks everyone for listening. This has been episode 16 of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger. As always, you can leave a comment on our Podbean website. You can follow us on Fastbuck. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. And eventually, these episodes will be showing up on the IXI YouTube channel.
Yay.
When Dave gets around to actually putting
that's
pictures
why
on
I
him.
Said eventually.
We love you, Dave.
Love you, Dave.
Keep up the good work.
Yeah. Alright, so, thanks again for listening. If you like, comment, favorite, subscribe, do all those things. Why not?
Bye!
Have
fun!
Next week is the Zan Gets You Off!
Yep. Place your bets.
When Zan gets you off.
Place your bets! We got 21! Place your bets, everybody! We got 21 odds on Takatora.
I bet on Zangets! No, wait! Zangets!
Zangets! Zangets!
Zangets! Zangets! And the episode just cuts down.
Bingish!
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 Zangets! Bingish!
Ew.